Pentecostal movement in the days of apostles, maybe 250, 300 years, and everything just died out. I like sometimes when the Holy Spirit wants to teach us something or to show us something, He like places a stake in our brain. It's like, or a nail. It's always there. You feel it. It's in a way of your thinking, in a way of comprehending information. And when you hear about these things, that the things that you have a big question about, I'll talk about myself. First of all, I had this small question, then it grew. I had moments where from the very childhood, I remember, I think it was 12 or 14, 13 years old, I'm not sure. I started getting these questions that I could not find answers to. I heard many messages regarding this subject matter, but that if that question was brought up in your life by the Holy Spirit, that question will always remain until the Holy Spirit will give you the answer himself. It will be in your thoughts, in your mind. And I had this question. God, it is written that you will look at the works of your soul with joy in the scripture. If today you will look at Christianity, if you look at what church does currently and where church departed compared to the day of Pentecost and the Pentecostal movement, I would not be happy, I'll tell you that. Does anybody care about the church in the world? No. If you encounter anyone outside and you ask them if they know anything about the church, you'll say the church is for the weak, it's for the illiterate, it's for the people that did not find themselves in this life and they need to fill their mind with something, you know, with stuff. What happened? Why? When the Holy Spirit came down during the day of Pentecost, it is written that when the Holy Spirit did come down to earth, the whole city was in movement. There was some sort of things started happening, and within a couple of weeks of ministry, apostles rise up, the whole city onto their feet, all of the government was aware. They didn't know how to stop it. It is written, there was about 120 people in that room. It was not many people, but they were able to raise up Jerusalem, and then they took over the whole of Asia. If you look at apostles' ministry, they were practically, that time when there was no transportation, they were able to get all the way to Russia and Ukraine, India, China, and Europe. It's a couple of people that were together with Jesus Christ, and the important accent was upon the disciples that became apostles, that spent their lives with Jesus. After our dedication, we have to understand, after our dedication, consecration, if that was a consecration in our life, serious, we meant what we were doing. I'm not saying that someone said, oh, just say a prayer of a sinner and then, you know, that's it. No, I'm talking about serious step that we took, knowing where we're headed with this, what we're doing. God's order or a certain position has to be in our lives, a certain condition. Look. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change our life and our thoughts and our desires and our prayers. They have to receive a completely different character. Our prayers, our decisions, our spiritual warfare, it all has to look completely different. It has to be different. It has to carry real power and authority. I'm talking about with our corporate prayers and our personal prayers, our personal relationship with God as well. Look, I'm going to read a scripture. I will read a lot of scripture today. Why did I take these scriptures to again confirm
взбудоражить нашу память, наш разум о том, что это есть написано в Библии.
To show us that it is so in the scripture. God talked about it long time ago through his prophets, through his apostles, and for real. This is all prepared for us. What we have to just grab onto it and go run with it. Book of Acts. As soon as they were let go, and by the high priests, they came in unity together in prayer and cried out to the Lord, saying, O Lord, that you have created heaven and the earth, you said through your Spirit, with the mouth of our father David, your servant, the kings rose up and rulers spoke against the Lord and his anointed. And for real, they united in the city against your holy son, Jesus, that you have anointed as Messiah. Herod and Pontius Pilate and all the people came together with the Jewish people to fulfill things that you have written. And now, Lord, hear their warnings and help your servants to proclaim your news. Stretch out your hand so that the name of your holy son, Jesus, in his name would be signs, wonders, and miracles. And when they prayed, the house was shaken that they were in, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and started proclaiming the word of God. We know all this story. This is what happened in the lives of apostles. But why is it that this prayer called out such a reaction from heaven? It's just a simple prayer. They were praying for a while. They tried to ask for something. No. Look, what happened? There was a situation. They were so captivated by the Holy Spirit, they knew and understood inside of them the will of God for this situation. I love it. The way that they prayed, they were not asking God, give us wisdom to preach correctly, give us wisdom to minister so that the enemy would not be angry with us. They did not say, God, give us wisdom to behave or do certain things, because you are a wise God, you give us wisdom. Because if we don't have this reaction against us, we'll be able to preach better, we'll be able to reach out to so many people about your power and your love. No. The disciple said, you see the danger. You are all-powerful God, and we know one thing. You will deal with it. Our thing is to preach your kingdom on this earth. Give us power to do so. Simple prayer, but it is written that prayer, God loved it because the reaction did came. The move came. It is written that the whole house, the foundation of it shook. It is written that afterwards they came out and started fearlessly preaching the gospel. What happened? People that, well, let's say, kind of 2 months or 30, maybe 60 days, they were hiding in the room. They were afraid of what people were going to do to them because they might have been, whatever they did to Jesus, maybe they could have done that to them. When they would get together, they were hiding. And here, we see completely different people. We see completely different picture. And it is written that when the priests were dealing with them, it is written that they were amazed because they were fearless, and they were amazed how much wisdom and power they did have to answer correctly and to minister. The first thing that comes out of our close relationship with God is right understanding of our prayer, of our requests and our direction. A lot is spoken from this podium that we have to enter into our calling, we have to be in our place, we have to have our identity from heaven, who we are, why we are alive on this earth, and what we have to do. Maybe today I'm not going to say something new. I just want to set this fire in your heart to never give up, just go forward, search for Him, search for His promises, for the words that He has released towards us, those prophecies. Today I will touch down those moments us, the generation that lives in these last days. God preordained us to be on this earth at this time. God is revealing such things in our days that were never revealed before, these questions or these teachings that we hear. Why? Because the time has come, the last days, where the Lord will pour out His Spirit and His glory. And right now, this is a serious time of preparation. Let's go a little bit into the Old Covenant. Couple of moments. There was no blood of Jesus Christ. People were not filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit was on them. He was with them. When David was praying, when he sinned, he didn't say, don't take out of me. He said, do not take away from me the Holy Spirit. And people that were at that time, that partially were able to come in contact with the things that we, in our days, have full right to walk in. They would just touch here and there these things, and in that condition, they were able to achieve serious results. How many times did David lose in a war? Who knows? I don't remember when David lost a war. Every time when he would go to battle, he'd ask the Lord. Every time he had a petition before the Lord, Lord, what do I do now? Today we could say we have knowledge, we have understanding, I know what to do in this situation. Every time David would ask, and look, same situation, but God would tell him, today don't do what you did last time. Today you go from the side of the mulberry trees, and when you were hear the wind upon the trees, that's when you go, because I'm going before you. How many times, or how much understanding do we require to hear the Lord today? How often do we depend on our knowledge and our experience and the things that already happened in our life, and we search for the things that worked previous time that is going to work this time, or that it might even work in the lives of other people? David lived in the Old Covenant. He was a warrior from adolescence. As a child, he killed a lion and a bear, and every time he'd go to war, he'd ask the Lord, God, what do you think? How should I do this? He understood. His life, his success depended completely on God. And that is why he is called a man after God's heart, because he treasured the fact that the Lord did reveal himself to him and allowed him to know him. And throughout all his life, yes, he had downfalls, of course he had mistakes, but he would repent and cry over every sin, over every mistake, and he'd always return to the Lord. What's interesting for me is the life of David. He, in his life, did things that were forbidden by the law. When Moses built the ark, where was it? There was a veil. It was 5 centimeters thick. I'm not sure exactly what sort of material it was, but we understand that the principle from the Bible, who can go into the Holy of Holies before the ark once a year, and you had to fulfill many different rituals and things before you go there, before you come into, before the ark in the Holy of Holies. But when David was transporting the ark of the covenant, it says that it was on an ox cart, and that gentleman that tried to catch it because it was falling, did he have bad intentions? No, he was worried about the Ark of the Covenant so it doesn't fall to the ground. What happened? It is written that he died right there and then because he had no right to touch the Ark. It is written, David got scared. What did he do? They decided to bring this ark into the house of one of the Jewish men. And it is written that the man told David that that man started flourishing and it was being prosperous. I love the people that treasure the things that the Lord does. When the glory of God does come, they are, they treasure it, they love it, where there's manifestations of God's love, power, and glory, and it is written that David wanted that as well. But because he was afraid of bringing the ark into his house, he made a tabernacle. It's like a city. It was that big. It remained standing as long as there was no temple in Jerusalem. And once Solomon built the temple, the ark was brought back in behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, and then no one else could approach it besides a high priest once a year. What was going on with the ark when King David was in reign? It says that there was a tabernacle, it was round. In the middle of it, there was the ark, the covenant. And the Bible tells us that David placed the Levites, the singers, the ones that would praise the name of the Lord day and night. It lasted more than 40 years, and day and night, this was worship, this was praise. And when we read the book of Psalms, it says that I will come into the house of the Lord. When David says that he will goes into the house of the Lord, he meant that tent, tabernacle. And why is it? Because of King David, when he ministered, when he would do these things, everyone that would come to the Ark of the Covenant, they could freely enter. There were nothing that prevented them from seeing it or coming next to the Ark of the Covenant. People could come and pour out their heart. They could talk to God. There was no veil. There was nothing. God says that no one can come before my Ark. And here is King David that has a different relationship with God than the other people did. And he did that. I'll tell you this. I understand that this was from God, because not a single man, knowing how strict God was in the Old Covenant, David would have never risked to do something that would bring death. And the New Covenant tells us that God spoke through Prophet Amos that the time will come in the Old Covenant, he says, when I will restore the tabernacle of David. It talks about close relationship with God. Is that condition where a man has no barrier and he just comes freely to God. You don't need a high priest. You don't need anything. Through the blood of Jesus, you have free entrance. And one time I asked myself this question, God, I believe that every situation that is in the Bible, it's either a prophetic situation or a situation that tells us, it's used like an example. What happens? Why is it that the tabernacle of David was built? It had your glory in it, and then it disappeared. It no longer exists. Why? Because the ark was brought into the temple, into Solomon's temple, into the Holy of Holies, and it is written that God says through the prophet, the time will come when I will restore the fallen tabernacle of David. For God, it was something precious. God showed something that for a time was taken out, and then it has to be revealed again. And I say, God, what does it mean? What is this? How do you understand? How do I even bring it into the New Covenant? The Holy Spirit tells me, look at the history. What happened after the day of Pentecost with the move of the church on this earth? Clearly it says that one of the apostles during, when the Holy Spirit descended unto the apostles in the beginning of the move, he rose up and quoted the scripture from the prophet Amos about the tabernacle of David. He says, the word has been fulfilled where God is restoring the fallen tabernacle of David. And I tell you, 350 years. Those of you that studied Christian history, you remember this one word. When I hear it, I don't like it. It's called the Dark Ages, okay? The Dark Ages. This was pillage and plunder and destruction and blood and reigning over the people, hunger and thirst for lordship over people that lasted 1,500 years. Those were called the Dark Ages. I say, when I looked at all these moments throughout all my life, little by little, all these thoughts would come into this picture for me, and I'd always have this question, God, but you said about your son that he will look at the works of his soul with gladness and joy. The dark ages, did they bring joy and gladness for Jesus? What if you take the old covenant in comparison when there was Samuel, when Samuel was not there, I'm sorry, when there was Eli and his sons Ophni and Phinehas, two of his sons were also priests, it is written that there were no prophecies, they were lacking, and visions were scarce because Israel started idol worshipping. And later on we read after Malachi, 400 years there was not a single prophetic voice in Israel. That is, those are all images and examples that says the church will go through certain moments in her life. The old covenant is not written as history. If God was saying these things, he gave his word, it carries a meaning, it carries a revelation, it has a purpose. If we look at these moments and we find that, really, God split up this time into, I don't know why, I don't have answers for these things, but for some reason, why is it that the church did not continue moving in the fire of the Holy Spirit as they started? Why did they stop? Why the glory of God diminished in the church? Why there were false teachers and heresies? People would come into the power that never even had an encounter with God. As in the days of Pentecost, if anybody even lied to the Holy Spirit, they could just die. But later on in the Dark Ages, they could call themselves church and they would just do such horrible acts. And we didn't have that reaction as it happened in the days of the first church. I understand it this way. For me, you know, as much as I comprehend it currently, how it happened and why, look, I believe the apostles had a little mistake in their teaching, not in their dogmas, but they believed that at the end of their life, Jesus would come. The second coming would be while they're still here on this earth. They did not understand why, and they didn't take care of, didn't make sure that the gospel would go further. They were preparing the church to meet up with Jesus Christ. And look what happened. When Adam sinned, and when Jesus came as a second Adam to fix that mistake, many years went by, 2,000 years or so. Did God reveal himself throughout all these years to other people? Of course, there were prophets, God would show his signs, wonders, and miracles. There was glory of God. There was a law for Israel, how to worship God, how do you come into the temple before the Lord. So people started getting the stereotype of God and how to worship God and communion with God. Plus, on top of it all, the Israeli people, they were meant to carry this purity of God in their people, amongst their people, through all the generations. And when they would come together with pagans or with other gods and other people, there was a lot of things mixed in into that understanding that they had before regarding worshiping God. Look, what apostles did, they were preparing the church for the second coming of Christ, but they were not preparing the disciples that would go and raise up and teach. How many disciples do we find from apostles, the ones that were studying from them? How many do we see in the scripture? It was just, you can count them on one hand. And what happened is that power and glory that was in traditions, the things that passed on through religion, not through just the Jewish people, but that what went through religion, they've mixed in this evil thumbprint on humanity and their communion with God. How many of you remember the story when Constantine, the emperor, received Christianity. That's when the pagan rituals and Christianity was mixed in together, when tyrants and Roman leaders were persecuting the church. The church had pure, clean backbone. But afterwards, when this weakness came in, when he called Christianity the governmental religion in Rome, and all the heathen and pagan holidays were blended in with Christian holidays, and he just gave them Christian names, the history tells us this is where this infiltration of pure and impure things started happening. That's when dark ages started. This is where period in life where church departed from the true teachings of Jesus Christ. And that brought in an unfixable thumbprint in humanity and their communion with God. And I say a couple hundreds of years went by, and again, that took over the minds of people because their backbone was lost. People were not taught to move in the glory of God and carry it further and further. If we open up the Bible, just read it as a book. We understand there are prophecies. We understand there are revelations. We know there's some sort of meaning, and we start reading. When I read the Bible like that, with that attitude, I had many questions. Right away, you start getting into some sort of labyrinth of confusion. Apparently, it is written that you will look at the works of your soul with joy, but if you do look at these things, you're not joyful. Peter, in his gospel, in his letters, wrote that if you don't have the deep understanding of the relation of God, how God moves, how He acts, His times, His seasons, if the man does not know that, he will always be confused. He will move in this labyrinth, lost, not knowing what is happening. And it is written in the days of apostles when Peter was writing this. It's 2 Peter. That is why people will rise up that will speak against and laugh at all the promises of God. The ones that will laugh from His coming, they will laugh at the promises that have been promised to us in the Bible. And it is written that they will say, when our fathers died, nothing happens. Today, when you talk about talk with a Christian guy, he says, you know what, that happened with my grandma, my grandpa, and you know, my kids will have the same thing. And when you talk about the glory of God, they're saying, what glory of God? Everything that we have, this is the glory of God, that's it. Nothing else will happen, it cannot happen. Faith into healing, into signs and wonders has been lost. The most important thing has been lost. Who we are and where we are with God. That is the truth. That is the backbone. It has been hidden. When today you look at, just like that, overall into the world, at the church, God, the devil, ministers of the devil, ministers of God, the spirit of this realm, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And when you look at this war, at this resistance, you start somehow believing that God is running to and from all over the place. He can't do anything. It's out of control. The devil has been brought up to such extent, and the spirit of this realm has been magnified to such extent that as if the Holy Spirit cannot do anything, and the devil is so strong that he's battling God, and they're equal. And I say this, people, when they start believing that, they start laughing at the prophecies and the promises that are in the scripture that God released through His prophets and on and on. But if we ask the Holy Spirit, it is written that He is a teacher. He will come as a teacher. We believe that the Holy Spirit is our teacher in our life. John wrote, children, you have no need in anything. I love Ukrainian word. It just sounds so good. Little children, in Ukraine it says, little children. He taught about the love, we know. He says, you have no need for anyone to teach you. You have inside of you the anointing that teaches you all things. If we look at it this way and we say, Holy Spirit, I had many moments in my life where I'd sit down and I open up the Bible and say, God, I don't understand this. I don't get it. What I hear in the church, what I hear or read somewhere, it doesn't give me an answer for my question. I want to know the truth. I want to know what you meant by this. And God does answer. He teaches. We have to search for Him. And the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. He is also the one that discerns it and describes it and explains it to us. Look, throughout many ages, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, God was releasing the prophecy about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Joel said that in the last days I will pour out of my own Spirit. That happened already. Did it happen? When? When the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh? It didn't happen. In the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did come onto this earth. And one of the disciples, apostles, rose up and said, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy, Joel's prophecy that talked about that time. Yes, that was the beginning, it's the truth, but it was not fulfilled completely in all its fullness on all flesh. It was not, Holy Spirit was not poured out on all flesh. God says, I will come in them and live in them and I'll walk in them. They will be my people and I will be their God. For some reason, I consider that scripture towards Israel, always. Towards Israel, the people of Israel. But that has not only has to do with people of Israel. First of all, if that scripture or the word was released, it's not only in the Bible, it's history for people of Israel, it's also for the church. We pray, Lord, I want to be completely infiltrated and taken over by you. Since we come together in spirit, that we're one spirit with God. We desire for this. We want to know who we really are, why we're on this earth. The Bible clearly tells us later on that all of creation groans and moans for sons of God to be manifested. And the manifestations of Son of God, did that happen? No. So apparently, we're still waiting for that time. Tell me, how many of us believe that we live in the last days? I believe we believe that. If we look at what is happening around us and the signs that point to the last days, you can see it happening all around us. Look. Ephesians 2. We read this automatically when the Holy Spirit tells us. But God, so rich He is in His mercy, because of, in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love which He has loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship in the union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life which He quickened Him for it by grace, that you saved from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. At first, I thought this was talking about the eternal life. But the Holy Spirit told me when I started reading, He says, pay attention at the word in the ages. When it talks about eternal life, it says that the age to come. But here, it says, as in days, as in years, as earthly countdown of time. It says the time will come that God did redeem His bride and He filled the bride with His power, and the time will come when it will be active on this earth. This is the promise for the church of the last days. It will be full of God's power and glory. They will receive that revelation of who she really is, where she is seated with Him, and from that position she will see the plan of actions and she will move out of that. Daniel writes, in the last days the knowledge will be magnified in the last days. If God said that the time will come when I will make it this way, that the knowledge will be magnified and multiplied, maybe it has to do with knowledge and revelation that comes with in medicine and science world. It's one thing. But the time will come when God, with His truths and His principles and His desires, will be revealed in his people, in his own way. I believe, first of all, is the prophecy where God, for his people, for his sons and daughters, he will reveal to them, he will give them bigger knowledge, greater knowledge, will show things, his plan of action, and the things that he has prepared for the last days. Another interesting scripture. I'll seriously tell you. You know, I read the scripture and I want to raise up this hunger in you. Look at all the things that are written in the Bible. And sometimes when we're Christian, we know what is written. But when you really start really digging into these scriptures and you are immersed in it completely, you see a completely different picture. 1 Corinthians.
И моя весть, и моя проповедь была не в убедительных словах человеческой мудрости, но в проявлении силы Духа.
My preaching was not in the words, but in the power, the manifestation of power. This is why when Peter was speaking during the day of Pentecost, so many people came to God, because he was... When we are wise, we speak amongst the wise. But wisdom is not of this world, and not the wisdom from the rulers of this world. There are nothing. No, we speak about hidden mysteries of Christ that have been hidden. Apostle Paul says that something was hidden from the people by God. And the time is coming when this word, this wisdom, this knowledge will be released.
That
still was hidden, but was foreordained before the creation of the world for our glory. The ones that have the power and authority in this world do not understand it, otherwise they would not crucify the Lord of glory. But it is written that the eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, and the heart did not comprehend the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. But God has opened this up and revealed this to us through His Spirit, because the Spirit knows and searches all things. I wonder why this last scripture, that the Lord has revealed this to us through His Spirit, because the Spirit knows all things. Why is it when they read the scripture that they don't read this thing in the church? Because it talks about eternal life. Oh, this is what's waiting for us. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and the mind did not comprehend. From the very childhood age, I always had this question. How about those people that went to heaven in spirit? What, did they not see anything? Did they not hear anything there? Why is it behind the podium we hear these, back in the day we hear that it has to do about eternal life, but clearly Apostle Paul says that this is for the church while she's still on the earth. This is what the Lord has prepared for the last days for the church. We, with our mind, we cannot understand this today. We cannot imagine. It does not exist on this earth. We have nothing to compare it to. The things that the Lord will reveal through His sons and daughters on this earth, the things that will come through the church onto this earth. Let's read another scripture. Really? This touched me in a powerful way. It was a serious blow into my brain. 1 Peter 2:9. But you have a chosen nation, a priestly people that have been taking into the will of God to fulfill His will. Wonderful scripture. Interesting. The Bible tells us about kings and priests. Kings and priests. And here talks about kingly priesthood. Who was on this earth was a king and a priest? What do you think? Who was the king and the priest on this earth? One individual. Melchizedek. He was the only one that had a title of a king and a priest. Others on this earth were either priests or kings, and only Jesus Christ came like a king and a priest. And it is written as Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? Jesus Christ. And here the Bible tells us that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We have this title that Jesus Christ had. I say, when I read the scripture, I You know what? You start little by little touching those things that really the Lord prepared for the last days. You little by little start touching those things that God has reserved for us. And I know we cannot jump further than we are meant to jump. We cannot receive those revelations that have not been opened up to us by God. We cannot go into those depths that have not been allowed to us. But little by little, the Lord is preparing His church, His bride today, to that moment when these revelations will become reality in our life. It will be as breath in our lungs. We'll live in it, we'll walk in it, we'll be full of these things. And let's just say, what can we say about the royal priesthood today? I don't have that revelation. I don't know. I don't even know that mission that we have as chosen people, as priesthood. I know that this is, that has been prepared to us by God. And that is one of the highest callings. Because if we look throughout all of Scripture, through the Bible, only a couple of people that were not of this world, they were worthy of this name. They were had the right to carry this title. And today, those that have received Jesus Christ, have been washed by His blood and dedicated their lives to Him, we have the right to call or carry this title of royal priesthood. How many times we find moments in the Bible where Jesus Christ would say, I, the Father and I are one. If you will remain in me, you'll be one, just like I remain in the Father. How many times did Jesus say this about this condition? He says, without a part of me, you cannot do anything. He says, I'm in all movements, in any ministry, in any service, in anything that you do, you have to be completely united with me. On this earth, we have to move together. I'm the head, you're the body. The impulses come from the head, but the body fulfills those impulses. I believe I might be mistaken, I'm a man, but I understand it this way, that this is one of the main and most important revelations that has to come into our life. Who we are. Who we really are. And this question, it's quite big and grand, because at first you can ask, God, who am I on this earth? How do I make it? Who am I? This is my place, this is my goal and purpose in this life. Serious question, but we have to have answers. Second question, who am I in you? In eternity, after redemption, who am I? My title, and Apostle Paul says, right now we see as if through a stained glass. You know, childish questions are always interesting. And I'd ask him, you're looking in the mirror, what, you don't see yourself clearly? Why does it say in the Bible, through a looking glass, and that you are guessing what that mirror is telling you? Apparently, they were using copper mirrors, and when they would get old, they could not see themselves clearly. That's why he made that comparison. When we look into our future, when we look at our condition, who we are meant to be by God, we see ourselves as if in this copper or bronze mirror like they had back in the day. It's not clear, it's a little distorted, but the time will come when we will see with unveiled faces. They will be revealed to us who we are, where we are. And all of our life will be concentrated upon when we will, all our decisions, all our actions, everything that we will be doing, we will be taking it from a position of sitting on the throne in heavenly places. That is full synchronization. God needs people in these last days to look at the works of His soul with gladness. To do that, something serious has to happen. The devil has to be put to lay. That's it. His plans, everything that he was building for thousands of years on this earth, it needs to be destroyed into rubbish. It needs to be dealt with. He needs to be dealt with as a bad dog. I have no other word. Why? Because he's done so many bad and evil things in humanity, and wars and destruction and pain and tears and death and destruction. He needs to pay for that. And I believe that will be paid not only in eternity when he will be in the lake of fire, but the church will rise up, the one that will clearly know who she is. She will bring him down. She will bring him down. He will be under her feet. I believe that God is leading us into that time. Either we'll take it all or our children will take it, but I believe that the time is coming when the glory of God will cover this earth. If that prophecy has to do with the Jewish people and only for the Israel, then that glory has to cover part of the earth. The Bible clearly tells us the glory of God will cover all of the earth. All of the earth. God says, I said a word, and I make sure that word does not fall. It has to be fulfilled. It's the truth. Our goal and purpose, as I see it, how we have to move right now, it has to bring up our hunger and thirst in us to search for Him. Who we are, God, reveal to me. Give me a revelation that you have hidden for the last days, that wisdom that comes out of you, that is hidden in you for a certain time. Reveal it to me. Let me know who I am, what you've foreseen for me. Let me know who I am in you. If I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, if today in Christ I can make these decisions, or I can see, it is written that the Holy Ones of God will judge. Paul says, the way that I see the gospel, God will judge this world. A man that came out of sin, because he was persecuting the church, he made this statement, what I have written down, God will open up that scripture and He will judge the world according to it. Can you imagine what church is coming into those promises, that glory? I have no words to describe it, really. I really have no words. You start to understand with your mind. You can't comprehend it completely. You can't even express the things that you have inside of you because it's so big and so glorious. I want to be there.
I'm ready to go through everything that God wants me to go out. I'm ready to pay for everything. But I want to be there. If you love Jesus, you will do everything in your life to make His will happen. It is very true.
Для того, чтобы на свой подвиг он смотрел с удовольствием.
So that he can look at you and be happy.
Она просто заставит сделать все.
That love will make you do everything. Let's raise up.
Открой свое сердце.
Open up your heart.
Дай сейчас возможность Духу Святому коснуться.
Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart right now.
Проси Его открыть.
Ask Him to reveal what He has prepared for you. Ask Him to reveal to you what it is to be seated with Him in heaven. What it is to be seated with Him at the throne. What it is
to be one with Him.
What it is
to
be not me living, but Him inside of me. We need that understanding. We need to understand that and not only accept it in our mind, but into our heart. Ask Him. Jesus, we worship You. Holy Spirit, You give us the opportunity to touch a little bit of what You have prepared for us.
Бог, Ты сегодня даешь нам возможность немножко приоткрываешь завесу того, что будет происходить на земле. Мы хотим быть заполнены Тобой. Мы хотим ходить в этом знании, в этом откровении. Дай нам это знание, дай нам откровение.
Give us that revelation. Give us that understanding. Prepare our hearts. Prepare the church.
Приготовь сегодня твое тело для того, чтобы оно приняло это.
Prepare your body.
Это откровение, эту информацию. Для того, чтобы нам могло двигаться в этом понимании, в этом знании. Бог, мы хотим видеть твою победу, Иисус.
God, we want to see your victory.
Я хочу видеть улыбку на твоем лице.
We want to see a smile on your face.
Когда твое сердце радуется от победы.
We want to see your heart rejoice.
На подвиг души своей с довольством, когда ты будешь полный, когда мы просто увидим всю славу твоей жертвы, всю силу твоей жертвы, когда мы можем полностью слиться с тобой, когда мы будем
носить с тобой,
когда мы будем носителем твоей славы, твоей жизни,
we will carry your
когда мы будем носителем твоего царства,
we will be the ones to carry the kingdom of God.
Мы жаждем твоего времени,
we're hungry for that time.
Где ступит наша нога?
будет двигаться Твое царство. Будет щемиться дьявол, будет щемиться грех, будет щемиться тьма. Будет приходить Твой свет, будет приходить Твоя истина.
Your truth will come, your light will come, your freedom will come.
Захвати наши жизни, захвати наши чувства, захвати наш полностью. Дух, душа и тело, они Твои, возьми. Возьми их, направь, как хочешь Ты.
Take it all.
Мы жаждем Тебя.
We're hungry for You.
Мы жаждем Тебя, мы любим Тебя.
We love You.
Мы поклоняемся Тебе.
We worship You.
Открой наши сердца.
Open up our hearts.
Сделай нас мягкими, сделай нас способными принять.
Make us soft.
Твои откровения, Твои обещания. Принять то пророческое слово, которое было высвобождено.
Make us fulfill the prophecy that You have spoken.
Поклоняемся Тебе.
We worship You.
Любим Тебя, Ты наш Бог.
We love
Слава
You.
Тебе. Слава Тебе.
Glory to You.
Слава Тебе.
All glory is to You.
Аллилуйя. Слава Тебе, наш Бог.
All glory to You, God.
Аминь.
Amen.
Аминь.
Amen.
Воздайте славу Богу.
Give Him praise.
Присядьте.
You may take your seat.
Присядьте. То, что я чувствую, то, что я сейчас
what I feel right
понимаю,
now, what I understand
сейчас,
right now, and what I see right now,
я могу сказать только за себя.
I can only speak for myself. Each one of you know your own relationship with God. God is leading us somewhere. God is showing us things. He's revealing some things. God is working with us. Don't be left outside. Let God transform you. Do we have any guests here for the first time? If you are here for the first time, please raise up your hand. We would like to give you a little gift. Welcome. We bless you and your families.
Хорошо. Давайте мы сделаем сейчас жертву нашему.
Let's prepare for the offering.
Кому нужен конверт?
If you need an envelope or a pen, please raise up your hand. Ushers will assist you.
Было время, когда я когда-то обиделся
на Бога.
Я даже
Jesus,
так в обиде говорил: Бог, ты несправедливый,
как ты мог так поступить со мной?
Я почему-то, я думаю, что просто если ты имеешь определенную судьбу от Бога, Бог уже с самого детства будет как-то влечь тебя,
God, from very childhood, would lead you into it. He will take you through certain situations. And from a very childhood, I said, when will your glory come? I want to see it. I want to be in it. And I was in the army. It was 1988, where the Soviet Union started falling apart. And when a little freedom for Christianity started coming in,
я тогда попал в армию.
And I went to the army.
Все началось свобода, проповедь по телевизору, в парках, на улицах проповедуют, Бог исцеляет.
You know, God would heal outside, and I said, God.
Я же просил.
I asked you. I wanted it. And you put me into army for 2 years so that I won't see any of those things happen.
Я тогда просто не знал, куда ведет Бог.
I didn't know where God was leading me. I didn't know the plan of God for myself. I was just hurt because how could He make these things happen when I'm in army? And today I'm very thankful that I'm here today, that I can be part of this movement that is coming.
Пускайте лед. Вот возьмите то понимание Бога, которое у вас было.
Take the understanding that you had in your youth years.
То, что Бог вам на данный момент уже сегодня открыл.
And what God is revealing that to you, that level that you had.
Насколько это совсем другой Бог.
How
compare
the difference.
It is,
he's not a God that you're afraid of anymore. His voice is not scary to you anymore. Today, he's your beloved. He's the one you want to be with.